Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Tuomo Varis and I've been working as a research assistant on both Genedes and design projects. And I'm working on my master on the topic of usage of cloud computing in scientific computing applications. I just returned from Italy. I spent a month there working on these topics in collaboration with a company in Trieste called Esteco, which is a company dedicated to optimization applications and tools. And right now the research is in its experimental phase, so I'd like to share some experiences I've had with dealing with these cloud computing technologies there. First, I will give a quick, short introduction on some central concepts on cloud computing, and then move further on into what we did in practice there. So this is the infamous quote from Larry Ellison, the CEO of Oracle. That's a nice way to start all cloud computing presentations, since it reflects the current view. Okay, this is a few years old, but still the word cloud computing is applied to very different types of things, and the exact definition can be seen as a bit vague, because it applies to concepts on three different levels. There's the application level, software in the cloud, which refers to software run as services, sold as services. Then there's cloud software platforms like Google App Engine, which is probably the most well-known example of this, and also I think Microsoft's Azure works on this level also. But my main interest is the infrastructure as a service level, which refers to actual computing infrastructure sold as service and built according to usage. So the benefits of using cloud computing infrastructure is the approach to computing as a utility, in the same sense as, for example, we get electricity by directly plugging into a system, and we don't really need to care about where it comes from, and we only pay for the amount we actually use of the electricity. And from the user's point of view, also in this type of cloud computing, the amount of resources appears to be infinite. So we can use as much of the computing resources we need, and we only pay for that. And in practice, this is done by running virtual machines on the cloud provider's hardware. But there is also a way to benefit from these techniques using inside the organization, and this is called a private cloud. These are data centers relying heavily on virtualization and virtual machine management technologies to provide services to the owner organization of the data center. So the data centers is seen as a dynamic pool of resources that can allocate it to different tasks according to user needs. And also the virtualization technologies allow for quite efficient way to allocate the resources and manage them and constrain them also, so that, for example, one single user is not hogging all the resources. Also, there are security benefits. but the dynamic nature of the system is the main property that differentiates private clouds from casual virtual data centers. But yeah, what happened to infinite computing resources and low startup costs? We still have to buy the hardware and manage it. One idea is to combine these private data centers with publicly available cloud providers' resources. This can be done for a variety of reasons, such as the desire to benefit from public resources, but to keep critical services or sensitive data inside the organization's boundaries. And also, if the typical load of the system is quite low, but we have load peaks, it's possible to respond to these peaks by obtaining the needed resources from public providers. But yeah, we wanted to try these things in practice. And the situation in Trieste was that we had some existing hardware we wanted to use in a more efficient manner. And also we had some scientific software we wanted to run. So the goal was to set up a hybrid cloud to be used by these applications with the ability to respond to peak loads by employing publicly available resources. So we chose the Open Nebula as the platform or the toolkit to set up our cloud environment. Open Nebula is an open source project, originally started as a research project and currently running as an open source project. And large contributions to the code base come from distributed systems architecture research group at the University of Madrid from projects under national and EU grants. And also there is an enterprise support available from a company founded by the original creators of Open Nebula. We picked this solution because it's the first open source cloud computing toolkit to put heavy emphasis on supporting hybrid clouds. And it's very committed to open standards. For example, the first existing implementation of the open cloud computing interface was in Open Nebula. And the system itself is very flexible. It supports heterogeneous environments with different types of hosts and different hypervisors. For the user, it offers different types of user interfaces, these remote call interfaces such as the OCCI. It also offers EC2 type interface, which is the similar interface used by Amazon's services. And also it has its own REST-based application programming interface. Also there are command line tools the user can use, and also a web-based management graphical user interface. And because we wanted to experiment with different things, for example, adding and removing hosts is very easy because the default installation doesn't require any specific software to be installed in the servers that we want to use as Open Nebula hosts. All you need to do is exchange a few certificates and ensure that we have SSH daemon and NTFS daemon running. And the architecture is of the Open Nebula is very modular. And for example, different types of hypervisors are supported through a modular driver architecture. So it makes it really easy to also, if there are some compatibility problems, to actually alter the functionality of Open Nebula And this is one problem that I actually encountered. And I had to do some modification, and it was really easy to do. And OpenNebula is really full-featured. In contrast to, for example, Eucalyptus, you don't need to have manage a separate DHCP server on your front end to allow the virtual machines to obtain IPs, because OpenNebula takes care of also of the virtual network management. And also it manages storage systems and the full life cycle of the virtual machines there. So this is the simplified picture of our setup we built. So we had our private data center with the OpenNebula front end and some cluster nodes running Xen hypervisor. So the users communicate with the system using the OpenNebula front end with the remote interfaces, or logging in via SSH and using command line tools, or they can use also the browser, the typical web browser. And the front end handles the task of scheduling and deploying the actual virtual machines to these host resources. It can also, if it's required, to launch instances on the public cloud. We decided to use EC2 interface. We actually, in reality, we simulated this with an own Eucalyptus instance, but we will be closely in the future to use also the real Amazon services. Okay, so basically, because this system relies on virtual machines, running your own software in the cloud, there are several approaches. I mean, the most common use case is that the user prepares a virtual machine image containing the software he wants to run and deploys it in the cloud. This allows for interactive usage, for example, using SSH or VNC. And for typical scientific applications relying on, for example, MPI, we can deploy the same image many times, and then constrain the placement of the virtual machines, for example, into a single cluster, because previous research reported that the communication overhead when using MPI in the cloud can be very extensive, and this smart placement can minimize the overhead. And the other option is to prepare a virtual appliance prepared with required software that you deploy in the cloud and then send them work requests, or have them, for example, pull some working queue to obtain tasks, compute them, and return the results. Actually, this is what we did because I was at SOMO, I mean, at Esteco, I wanted to play with one of their enterprise tools, which is currently under development. It's right now in alpha or beta stage, and it's designed to integrate distributed CAE software into workflows and manage their input and output data. So it has a central server for management of workflows, authentication, and data. And then these independent worker nodes that can launch applications under certain conditions. Typically, they have been run in dedicated servers or even desktop machines. And what we wanted to do is take the worker nodes into the cloud. And in SOMO, the workflows are launched by evaluation requests from their Mode Frontier software. So we prepared a virtual appliance from their worker So this is how it works. We have mode frontier, which has this specific integration node to send requests to the SOMO. And then we have the cloud, which runs the actual worker instances. One of the benefits we noticed that, using these cloud technologies, adding new workers dynamically according to the need is really simple. And the resource allocation between them is quite efficient. But there are also challenges which applies to doing science in the cloud. I mean, the process of creating the virtual machine images might be cumbersome because you have to have the operating system, the software dependencies required by your code, and then the actual software. This can be mitigated by having a repository of pre-prepared VM images that the users can deploy or customize to their needs. Also, licensing issues is one thing that's not really related to the technology itself, but the software we wanted to use, because some scientific software is really restrictive on how it can be used, on how many cores it can be used, and even on the amount of memory. And also, these cloud systems bring some overhead, because, for example, deploying a new VM instance can take, depending on the solution you're using, from a few seconds to, I think Amazon promises 10 minutes from deploy request to running, so it's not that fast. And also, network communication can cause latency in typical parallel applications because user cannot be, in some systems, the user cannot be certain on which, even if the virtual machines of the MPI system reside in the same data center. And of course, virtualization can bring some overhead. And using hybrid system, it brings its own specific challenges because there are no standards that are widely accepted in this field. So different cloud providers and platforms use different type of protocols. They have different types of capabilities and forms of, for example, handling persistent storage. This all can be attributed to the kind of new nature of these services. So there are initiatives to create standards on the field. But also managing compatible virtual machine images, for example, to different types of systems adds also some management overhead. And when we want to do scaling on demand, deploying from our private cloud to the public services, doing it in automatic, smart and cost-efficient manner, it's really difficult to implement. And this is something I'd really like to look into in the future, because the pricing models vary, different task priorities vary, and so on. Yeah, I'm sorry about taking 5 minutes extra, but I have to thank you for this short while. If you have any questions, I can respond to them now or during lunch or coffee breaks or something, and maybe go then on deeper technical detail.